Oh, this is a tough one. Why do you speak to people you don't agree with? Why do you speak to people that say things that you shouldn't like? Well, here's a very simple answer. What works? What is working for us right now? What isn't working for us right now? Yeah, but Tucker Carlson, Bill O'Reilly, Jackson Hinkle, Trump supporters, there is a growing number of people who come after me for having conversations that they believe imply some kind of conversion, when really the opposite is true. It's not that I have sympathies for people on the far right. It's that I see that all of the rules and notions that have been applied to siloed thinking and picking your team and your tribe and the division and deplatforming and the censorship and the moderation of content, which is another way of saying censorship, has all led us to where we are right now. And where we are sucks, and nothing changes if nothing changes. Yeah, but if you want things to change for the better, should you be doing things that are worse? Well, that's where you and I need to have a conversation, because I believe that conversation is the cure. Now, this is going to be a one-sided conversation because it's just me talking at you, but allow it to be food for thought. I will tell you why that I did conversation, that I do conversation, that I will continue to have conversation with a lot of people that you may not like or agree with. I am Chris Cuomo. Welcome to the Chris Cuomo Project. Thank you for subscribing and following, and I'll tell you why. Because I don't like how things are. And it can't be that you get to a better place by continue to dig in the wrong decision and the wrong direction. It can't be that you get to a better place by continuing to dig in the wrong direction. And that's what we're doing. We're digging away from one another. And here's the easy pushback. Yeah, but you are talking to people who are liars, who have bad ideas, that are filled with misleading things that just make other people susceptible to their stupidity. Ah, first of all, be careful not to become what you oppose. What does that mean? Don't become closed-minded to any idea but your own. Not everything that is said on the right is a lie, is designed to divide, is dangerous and dark. Do they have those aspects to their rhetoric? Absolutely. Do they have it more so than those on the left? Overall, yes, I agree that they do. But it doesn't really matter to me which pile of poop smells more putrid, because it's the poop that I don't like. A more gentle metaphor: I don't care which team is better than the other if I hate the game they're playing and I want it to change. And that's how I view party politics. So how do we get to a better place? I have a basic assumption, okay, which is that a lot of the division is manufactured, that we have a magnification of the fringe going on, okay, that we have a minority that is super motivated and magnified by social media and by the media at large. And it has gotten us to a place where their interests, their fringe extreme interests, have co-opted the majority's interests. We are led around by the nose by the least of us, not by the majority. And while America has always been about protecting minority interests as well or better than most nations, this has gone too far. And you now have the majority giving way to minority interests that don't suit what our country is. I believe a lot of the division is manufactured. We are in a place right now where you're really looking at a government that's completely split, and that's not in any way a sense of balance, because balance would suppose a kind of a leveling of energies, a leveling of pressure, a leveling of things that creates this equivalence, this equilibrium. That's not what we have. What we have is this: opposites pushing against each other. Why? Because in a two-party system, The only way is in a battle to the bottom. That's what zero sum is about. I only win if you lose. So what's easier, me proving that I'm better or me proving that you're worse? That's why we see more and more negativity, more and more scaremongering, fearmongering. So I believe that it is an artificial representation of who and what we are. And I believe that when you take people out of the politically charged atmosphere and they're in their communities and their families, that there's more to agree about on the basis of common concern than there is energy that is needed in being against each other. We care about our kids and the options and the level of education that they have, how safe they are at school, how safe we are in our communities and what it is that makes us safe, what opportunities there are for our kids and for ourselves, how the economy is being managed by our government, how government is conducting itself, and whether or not the mechanisms of our democracy are working the way that they should. Now, there are very few of you who are going to say, I don't give a shit about any of that. I care about fill in the blank, global warming. You could make that a national security issue if you want. But I'm just saying in terms of the majority interest, there are a lot of common concerns. And you see that even when the explanation for that concern and why it's a concern and who's to blame or who can benefit us in that concern and how to do that is not shared. When all of those things aren't shared, why it's a concern in terms of how did it become a problem, what are the facts, how do you fix it, who should fix it, you don't need to agree with me on any of that to have the common concern. And that's all we need. And we used to have it when people still talk to one another. Now, why did they stop talking to one another? Oh, because it's better for the parties and the pundits. It's better for the media silos and for the political silos. It's so much easier to keep us away from each other. They hate when we talk to each other. It makes us so much harder to control. When they can't make you and somebody else natural enemies, so you're only going to listen to them, oh, it's so dangerous. It's so difficult for them. Division is so much easier. And everything that's going on right now is to the advantage of those playing the game. And that's why I had a conversation with Tucker Carlson. And that's why I had a conversation with Jackson Hinkle. That's why I have Bill O'Reilly on my show. And that's why I interviewed Mehdi Hasan. Why? Because I think that we have confused perception with perspective. Perception is what you come at through your own lights. Perspective is things outside yourself that inform your own perception. We are long on the first and short on the second. And I believe in food for thought. Yeah, but Tucker Carlson, man, listen. First, let's analyze it through the lens of me. Okay. Do you think I was in a hurry to talk to Tucker Carlson? The way that guy has treated me? How many times I have had thoughts that, you know, not me at my best, but of me literally changing the way he looks because of the bullshit that he said about me that wasn't true and wasn't fair and wasn't nice. So if I'm sitting down with him, what does that tell you?
That you've changed.
No, is that I'm willing to do what I think will make a positive difference. How is that a positive difference? Giving him an audience. Ah, that's another thing that you need to get past. The idea that by ignoring ideas or silencing ideas, they go away, the opposite is true. Tucker Carlson has more reach than News Nation. He's got more reach than any cable outlet, okay? Now, how much of it is real or fugazi, manipulated through Elon Musk's appetites for relevancy? I don't know. And what he does with his algorithms? I don't know. But if it's a tenth of what it seems to be, he's got some of the biggest reach in the business. So you're not going to shut him up by ignoring him. So why wouldn't you have a conversation with him? Well, I don't want to dignify him. I don't want to legitimize him. Too late. Too late. There are millions of people who agree with what he says. So if your goal is advantage, I get why you'd shut him out. You just want to beat him. But if your goal is in seeing if there's something for people who believe in him and what he's about and what he says, is there any commonality there? Is there any shared ground, common ground, common concern? And the answer is yes. His understanding of what's happening in the Middle East is not the same as mine, but both of us think that America should be in the business of making it stop. The southern border seems to be broken. Why he thinks it is and what the motivations are, I don't agree with, but we're both right about the concern. And what that does when you have the shared concern is, all right, let's leave the other stuff to the election. We can debate it. That's fine. But let's leave it to the election. And let's shift the onus from us hating each other for having a difference onto the people who are elected to bridge that. Remember, that's what they're supposed to do. They're supposed to make deals. They're supposed to make deals. Now, opposition is a legitimate position. They get reelected by just promising you that they'll do nothing. They literally said it out loud on the immigration bill in the Senate. We're going to leave the problem because the problem works better than us working to solve it. It's good for Biden if we try to solve it. So we're going to leave it like this so Trump can run on the problem. They said it out loud. That's how much they believe that they've won you over with the division proposition. That's why I talk to Tucker Carlson, to show that it can be done and that there are common concerns and that talking to each other is better than talking about each other. And that's why I had on Jackson Hinkle. He's got a significant following. Yeah, but he's an anti-Semite. He says he isn't. Yeah, but he says things about Israel that are terrible. He doesn't believe it should exist as a state. Well, that's the same as saying that Jews shouldn't exist. No, it isn't. And he says he doesn't believe that. Oh, he's lying. Look, in my experience, people who hate others are proud to tell you about it and tell you why. Okay? I haven't met a lot of subtle anti-Semites. Now, can anti-Semitism or can bigotry or bias be sneaky, surreptitious? Yes. But this kid does not strike me as subtle. Oh yeah, but he's not relevant. He is relevant. And I think there's something, you know, very eccentric about him and his ideas. But what benefit does it do me to just shut him out and not try to pursue why he has such a following at such a young age? See, I believe in that. I believe in more ideas, not fewer, because look at where your way has gotten us. Everything that happens in society is put through this meat grinder of advantage and one side winning and one side losing. Christopher Wray, the head of the FBI, the director of the FBI, just said it the other day, that everybody looks at every case and every investigation through the lens of whether or not their side won or lost. This isn't working for us. So if it's not working, why wouldn't I try something different? Especially when it appeals to some of the most basic common principles of humanity. That it's better to talk to people than about them. That you're better off trying to find out what each other is about and what common cause there can be than just demonizing the other. That's why I do it, because I think it could help us get to a better place. Because that's my goal. I don't want to just cash in on the division by picking a side and running with it. That'd be a hell of a lot easier. But not on my sense of purpose. Not on why I think it's worth dealing with all this bullshit in the first place. So that's why I do it.
Support for the Chris Cuomo Project comes from Cozy Earth. Did you know that 35% of us report experiencing poor sleep quality? It's not that big a surprise, but you got to go a layer deeper. Why? Why? Because I have something that will transform your sleep problem. Cozy Earth. Discover the secret to better sleep with Cozy Earth's luxurious bedding products. Little funny side note, my wife just left to go from our apartment out to our house where we live. Guess what she took with her in her bag? The sheets. Ha! I gotta get another set. She took the Cozy Earth from the apartment. I don't know what I'm sleeping on tonight. Cozy Earth bedding are temperature regulating. That's the technology. That's the key. So what they do is literally adapt to your body's needs. And that helps tailor the sleep experience to you. They use only the best fabrics, materials, and weaves, offering superior softness, and that invites you to sink into a world of comfort. Treat yourself. to the ultimate in comfort and indulgence with Cozy Earth bedding and sleepwear and prioritize your self-care and sleep health. Use my promo code, Chris, at checkout, and you'll get 35% off at CozyEarth.com. After you place your order, be sure to let them know we sent you. Select podcast in the survey and be sure to write in the Chris Cuomo Project, please. The Chris Cuomo Project is supported by All American Assets. Why? Because you need somebody to help you make the decisions. What do I do to get away from the markets? Should I just put my money in a tin can? No. But what you can do is hold physical gold and silver. And I'm not just talking about burying it in a chest like some pirate. You can put it in your 401k. You can put it in your IRA. Most people only think that you can get stocks, right? You know, maybe some bonds or something like that. But you didn't know that you could invest in your retirement accounts with these types of investments. Hard silver, hard gold. All American Assets offers a wide selection of different gold and silver products, all delivered right to your door or to a depository in safe, discreet, fully insured packaging. And if you got a 401k from a previous employer, or if you got an IRA, an IRA, you can just roll it over into physical gold and silver. You can also make a purchase with cash and fund your account by sending a check or wire. Now is the opportune moment. Start investing in precious metals, safeguarding your savings against these volatile markets. Visit allamericanassets.com for your free gold and silver investment guide, or go and call 888-390-2522. And you can learn how to turn your paper savings into gold, literally. Again, 888-390-2522, or visit allamericanassets.com. Support for the Chris Cuomo Project comes from Prize Picks. Prize Picks, man, if you like DFS, this is the way to go. America's number one fantasy sports app. 3 million members. Why? Easy, exciting, plenty of action. Makes watching the sports, makes watching the players more fun. You just pick more or less on two or more player stats. And if you're any good, winnings roll in. And now you can win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. You can turn 100 into 10,000. You can turn 10 bucks into 1,000. Basketball, hockey, college, you know, all the different entries today on Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app. You ready to get started with Prize Picks? Download the app today. Use code CCP. You'll get a first deposit match up to 100 bucks. Again, download the app today. Use the code CCP. You get a first deposit match up to 100 bucks. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy. Now, there have been very strong reactions to my doing it, and I will address them as well. And for that, I will enlist Brother Ott, who has been very happily, of course, monitoring all of the madness. He is, what do they call the guy? Is it the griot? The guy who's at the head of the parade with the big scepter? The marching band, the guy, the griot? Anyway.
I wasn't in the marching band. I'm sorry. I'm sorry to disappoint
that
you.
That is surprising to me.
I'm a guitar guy, man.
You are a natural for band camp.
What the hell? Yeah, you ever see American Pie films? Those are excellent.
Greg, by chance,
have you... In the middle of this thoughtful conversation, I'm bringing up Stifler.
I like it. Have you come across any reactions to my having these divergent conversations?
I actually have, believe it or not. There's a website called Mediaite. Are you familiar with Mediaite?
Oh, yes.
It's for those of you who don't aren't Mediaite Plus members, it's like a media industry analysis website. They post news that pertains to the industry that Chris works in, and I work in as an employee of his. They posted this March 4th after your interview with Jackson Hinkle. The headline reads, Chris Cuomo interviews anti-Israel conspiracy theorist, calls him at the head of the next generation of political thought, with a thumbnail or a screenshot of you two smiling happily. They characterize your interview in many different ways, but they go on to say, notably, Cuomo did not mention Hinkle's spread of disinformation about the war or conspiracy mongering about Jews. Since the outbreak of the war, Hinkle has ceaselessly spread blatant falsehoods about Israel, using footage from the Syrian civil war to suggest that it bombed a Gazan hospital, and falsely citing Haaretz in an effort to downplay the atrocities committed by Hamas on October 7th.
Yes.
I'll continue by pointing out that somebody else tweeted a this is embedded in the article. Somebody tweeted a clip from you in your interview saying, Chris Cuomo, Jackson Hinkle, it's nice to talk to somebody at the head of the next generation of political thought in the country. Jackson Hinkle was literally in Moscow yesterday joyriding a Russian tank yes. with the Kremlin's permission. And then Jake Tapper responded to that by screenshotting a link to a Bellingcat article about Jackson Hinkle that describes him as the far-right U.S. influencer. Jackson Hinkle has quickly emerged as one of the most popular users on X during the ongoing Israel-Hamas war. Hinkle has a history of spreading conspiracy theories and misinformation.
All right. So then you shouldn't talk to him. Okay. Is that going to make him go away? No. The opposite is happening. Oh, okay. But if you're going to talk to him, you should just call him an anti-Semite the whole time. Okay. Because that will make people who listen to him now want to listen to me, right? No. Well, then you should do what Jake Tapper did. Look, it is easy. Okay. This is a pack animal, this business. All right. Most people who make it in the media, especially on television, go along to get along. Okay. And it is not a place for people to have a renegade tendency or to do things that are controversial. All right. You play it safe. That's how you stay. And I don't begrudge that judgment. All right. But anyone who wants to give a take on what I'm doing, well, they could also be looked at, all right? Whether it's Jake Tapper, whether it's the writer of that article for Mediaite, people carry a lot of water for different agendas. Do I agree with what Jackson Hinkle says about the Middle East? Well, certainly when he gets things wrong, right? Like using video and other things, he has explanations for them. People, for good, bad, and no reason, often repeat information that they find online that is erroneous. And he says that when he makes a mistake like that, he tries to do something about it. He is a communist. So he does not see communism in Russia as a bad thing. So that is his choice. How he is MAGA and a communist, I don't understand, because MAGA people don't like communism, or at least they're not supposed to. But I thought that that was interesting because, as they admit in the article, he's become one of the most popular users on the right on Twitter. So don't you want to understand the enemy if you want to define him that way? I don't see him as posing any really significant threat. But I think some of his ideas could if they were manifested in the right kind of leadership. But that's not what he is. He's in his 20s. And there are a lot of people with grievance who have populated around him and his ideas and his platform. Why wouldn't you want to probe it? And the idea that, oh, well, if you are going to probe it, you should just check him the whole time. Does that move the needle? I mean, look, you can say what you want about me and the nature of my work. I'm not known for soft interviews, okay? It's not like I'm not known for knowing how to interrogate or how to get into an argument or how to debate, certainly more so than Jake Tapper or a lot of these other people who are criticizing me talking to him. And by the way, I think that the level of work with Tapper is very high. I think he deserves his accolades. But I don't feel that he does something as an interviewing animal that I don't. But it's about what moves the needle. What matters? What helps change people's perspective, not just their perception of how they feel in a moment? I think we have to try different things. Now, will everything land? Will everything be satisfying? No, but what's the alternative? To keep doing things the same way and adding to the division just to make a buck, just to have a show, just to have a platform, and not even one that puts you in the middle of the arena like in primetime? I'd rather try different things in the effort of trying to make it better. And if you don't like it, okay, maybe that one missed the mark for you. But I still think it's worth the effort.
Well, in this, maybe we won't use this, but like in this same article, there's a bunch of comments from people who have read this. And somebody called Gotham says, there will always be cockroaches like Hinkle, but to give him airtime only reinforces how desperate Chris Cuomo is for ratings, any ratings.
But it didn't rate.
I mean, that's true. Yeah, the numbers weren't.
It didn't rate. A lot of this stuff is not that popular. It's for people who want to look deeper. And look, I have lots of problems with our current dynamic, even though I'll see justifications for the things that I don't like. For instance, I don't like that the commenter gets to hide behind the pseudonym or avatar Gotham.
Their avatar is actually of Tank Man, the photo of Tank Man.
Whatever. Well, the point is—
They're not Batman.
They're not owning it with their real name. Now, people will say that's because if I use my real name, I'm going to be fired for my ideas. And I don't like that either. So I accept that that's why we allow anonymity. I'm mixed on it, though, because I believe that while it is a device of self-protection, sometimes what you're protecting yourself from are really ugly ideas that you would never dare evidence in other places where you fear accountability. And is that a good standard to reinforce, to encourage you to be your worst? Now, that said, I don't think that this is a particularly bad in any way comment. It's true. You're giving him attention, but you're assuming he's not getting more attention than I could give him already. And he is. You choose to ignore it. I say that what you ignore, you have empowered. And one of the reasons that we are as divided and as beset by fringe thinking as we are right now is because of people like you who have bought into division being better. And I disagree.
So along those lines, we're going to switch to Tucker Carlson now. And I want to talk about something that happened when we released this video. I got a text from you or an email like 8 a.m. right after this comes out, because we had characterized this in the title for SEO optimization, as we usually do to get to drive attention to our YouTube channel. We try very hard. something along the lines of like Chris Cuomo and Tucker Carlson head to head or one on one. And you were not happy with how that was portrayed because you wanted to be very clear, like you did on News Nation. This is a conversation. And again, we weren't trying to paint this as this yelling match. It was more like, oh,
yeah, you kind of talk.
No, we were
kind of were, but that's the hype that would be normal.
But we were just trying to, it's the two of you speaking directly about hard topics. So that's kind of what we were leaning into, but I understand why you wanted to change that. Can you first speak to like why that's important to you to like make sure that was framed on your
because
own show?
Because the headlines, are deceptive. And the headlines have always been deceptive. They've always been about hype. And that was what bothered me about the Mediaite piece and a lot of pieces, was that the headline rarely matches the body of the piece because most of you don't read the whole piece, right? That's why the defense to a proposition in a piece usually comes like 5 to 7 graphs down into it. Why? Because you're likely not reading it. Now, that's ascribing a cynical motive to people doing the writing, which is sometimes true, sometimes isn't. But it's the headline. And this was not a head-to-head where I'm beating him down. That's not what it was by design. It was a conversation by design. Because while it would be easy and there'd be something sporting about me slicing him like cheese on every proposition that he comes is based on a false premise or a bad fact, I think that there was more value in showing people you don't have to hate who you disagree with. Well, isn't that saying that you're making people like Tucker Carlson? Look, that's your choice about anything and anyone that you're exposed to in the media. I don't think it's helpful to our democracy to have you convinced that people you don't agree with are bad. And I think that there's a lot of energy pushing you in that direction. And I am trying to offset that energy. Not because I want you to agree with what you hate, but that hate is really strong. And demonizing people as bad because they have bad ideas is very powerful and very dangerous. And I don't think it's helping us. It's helping some of us. It's helping some of us who play into the division and profit from it. But I don't think it's helping all of us. In a way, I'm doing these things because I know it's going to be upsetting. But I really do think we got to start being uncomfortable again. We seek way too much comfort when it comes to our ideas and our politics. We literally want to censor ideas. You know, all this noise about Elon and Don. What bothered me about that conversation was the meat of the matter that was completely ignored. Oh no, people talk about censorship on Twitter all the time, only as an article of convenience. But the big conversation about what the hell are we doing with our online lives when it comes to information? I don't like the idea of moderating content. I don't like it when it comes to our politics and our marketplace of ideas. I think you should be in the business of moderating content, not anybody else for you, unless there's a bright line legal standard. kiddie porn, okay? Well, but what about community standards and guidelines? Fine, I guess a little bit of it is about the marketplace and how the marketplace decides to police itself. But I just thought it was so weird to hear a journalist talking to the guy operating a platform and saying, you should be moderating more content, shouldn't you? And then you wouldn't be asked these questions. It was basically saying, if you don't want us to fuck with you, then do what we want you to do, which is to limit these ideas that we don't like. And I think that's really, really fucking dangerous. And I'm really against it. Not because I agree with the replacement theory, but that, look, I believe that you want the best idea to win. And I believe the more ideas that are out there, the better chance that the best idea is going to win. And I'll tell you why. Because there's a more natural gradient of competition. I want the replacement theory out there as a rationale for why the Democrats' border policy is what it is. I'll beat that 10 times out of 10. Now, do you want to have a broader conversation about how we are creating equity in society and what's being done? And are there corrections needed? Has it been overcorrected? Is it harder for white people in certain economic strata to attain rites of passage or opportunities or jobs or whatever than it used to be? Yes or no? Where? Why? If so, so what? Are those real conversations to have? Yeah. Is DEI a cure-all? I believe very strongly that America's greatest asset is her diversity. I think that's why nobody's ever really been able to match us. Is that, you know, you get Ott from where he comes from, his pilgrim Dutch, Swedish,
yeah, Swedish,
you know,
not
stock, you know, and you get Amrish, you know, from his East Asian roots, Indian roots, mine, mostly Italian.
Really?
You can't beat the combination. What Amrish brings to the table with his ethnic upbringing and his understanding of faith and philosophy and what he's learned in life lessons of that culture, what Ott understands from his ancestors and what they've taught him about, and then me, you put all our creative juices together. How do you decide to beat us if you only have one of them? You know, you got a problem. That's how America has thrived. So I believe in diversity. Now, could it be true that there's been an overcorrection and that you now have white people who are buying in to Trump and other fringe thinkers because they do believe that they have been targeted and that they're bad people for being worried about whether their kid is allowed to make decisions about their own gender as a minor? Yes, and I believe more ideas is better. Let them be out there. Because I'll beat the replacement theory. I'll beat the malignant ideas. I'll beat the bad ideas. And it's easier than me competing against myself, which is what people are really asking for here by reducing the number of ideas that are allowed to be out there. You don't fix a fight if you're looking for a fair fight. And so I believe in more, even if it's upsetting. Now, you can judge how I do the interview. That's fair. And I'm certainly not smacking the shit out. Look, even Bill O'Reilly. The idea that he said to me once on my show that I demonize him, I actually had to talk to him about it afterwards. I was like, I give you more time than anybody else every week when I agree with almost nothing that you say, because I know it's valuable to the audience for them to be able to compare ideas and have food for thought. And I demonize you? I mean, that was crazy, but whatever. That's his choice to feel that way. I think that's demonstrably false. Most of you kick my ass for having him on at all. But I believe in the value. I believe in the value of exchange and contact and talking to one another. I believe in it. It works everywhere else in the human dynamic. Why wouldn't it work in our media and political culture?
Support for the Chris Cuomo Project comes from Prize Picks. Prize Picks, man, if you like DFS, this is the way to go. America's number one fantasy sports app. 3 million members. Why? Easy, exciting, plenty of action. Makes watching the sports, makes watching the players more fun. You just pick more or less on two or more player stats, and if you're any good, winnings roll in. And now you can win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. You can turn 100 into 10,000. You can turn 10 bucks into 1,000. Basketball, hockey, college, you know, all the different entries today on Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app. You ready to get started with Prize Picks? Download the app today. Use code CCP. You'll get a first deposit match up to 100 bucks. Again, download the app today. Use the code CCP. You get a first deposit match up to 100 bucks. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy. Support for the Chris Cuomo Project comes from AG1. Listen, my brothers and sisters, you know that I take my health seriously, right? I'm an aging athlete. I'm dealing with long COVID. That's why AG1 is a big part of my game, and I have been taking it for many years. Why? Because it's one and done. I don't have to worry about the combinations. I don't have to worry about the price the same way. It's so much less expensive than taking all these things separately. And it's the deliverability. It's just a scoop and a glass of warm water for me, but you can put a scoop of it in whatever you want. And boop, down the hatch, and that's that. People ask me all the time, AG1, do you really take it? Yeah, it's all over my house. And I've been drinking it for a long time, and I think it works. I have partnered with AG1 for so long because they make a high-quality product that I trust to have as part of my routine every day. So, you want to replace whatever you're doing now? Start AG1. Try AG1 and get a free one-year supply of vitamin D3K2 and 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first subscription at drinkag1.com/CCP. That's drinkag1.com/CCP. Check it out. Support for the Chris Cuomo Project comes from Done With Debt. This is a big one, especially in America, man. You need Done With Debt. If you're one of us who's addicted to credit, you need Done With Debt because you're going to bed thinking about how much you owe and what the minimum amount payable is and what are you going to do and you're never going to get out from under it. And look, is it your fault? Yeah, in part, take responsibility for your spending, but also the system traps you in debt. High interest credit cards and loans. It's almost impossible to pay off your debt once you get into that cycle. Insane inflation keeps you stuck paycheck to paycheck. And that's why you need Done With Debt, because Done With Debt is your lifeline. Done With Debt has an ingenious new strategy to help you deal with debt faster than most of us would think possible. Done With Debt analyzes your debt, gives you options that you'll qualify for. Done With Debt knows how to reduce bills, cut interest rates. They've got skilled staff at Done With Debt that will negotiate, figure out how to get better deals. So here's how easy they'll make it. Go to donewithdebt.com, donewithdebt.com, and start getting out from under the problem and toward the solution. You got debt? You need Done With Debt.
Getting back to what you were saying about the Don Lemon interview with content moderation and what I was saying a minute ago about the way we were like titling the YouTube video from before, I wonder if you can speak to the idea of like freedom of speech versus freedom of reach, because I do think that with what you're saying about you want more ideas out there, the marketplace of ideas, you'll beat a bad idea, you know, 9 times out of 10. With regard to the way a lot of tech companies do this, like with YouTube, for example, it's like, oh, you can ignore this video. You can say you don't want to get these recommendations anymore. Okay, cool. Chris Cuomo's on mute indefinitely.
Don't
but
do
what
that.
If it, what if, please don't do that for my sake and his, more so his, but the idea of that, like, yes, you're putting these ideas out there. Yes. Somebody like Jackson Hinkle has a platform. X is Twitter, you know, tons of people still go on there. But the way a lot of these algorithms work when they're looked into is like, they're just going to be surfacing content that people might not know they want to hear. Or, you know, on YouTube, it's like you go down these rabbit holes that radicalize people from one extreme or from, you know, maybe one degree to from the center all
well,
the way to one.
Do they radicalize people or do people radicalize themselves by making choices to expose themselves to certain information? And is the answer to that, because the answer is yes, it's choice. Is the answer to that, okay, but you can't manipulate choice by making it more likely that they go down these rabbit holes. Okay, but are they making it more likely that you go down the rabbit hole, or are they making it more likely for there to be rabbit holes of all different kinds? I do this with fishing, okay? I go really deep with fishing and knots and different bait presentations and all these things. Should the platform treat that rabbit hole different than ideas about extreme Islamism? I say, no, they can, not a government entity. Another side thought, why do we have a different rule for the government entity than for a private entity? Well, you let the market decide, but okay, but think about it. One more step. It's important enough that we don't let the government create rules to limit speech. It's right in the First Amendment. Not that they thought about it first, but it is placed first, okay? That's how important it is. Not that it's first. Again, that's the order is random. But as a signature freedom, we are free from government constraint of speech. Why? When there's so many bad fucking ideas and dangerous, weird witchcraft, you know, kooky, religious, philosophical, ideological stuff that has always existed. They lit people on fire thinking they were witches because they believed in science. Why? Because the founding fathers understood the danger and the limitation of thought. Now, man, is that hard to swallow. It is hard to have an open marketplace of ideas. It is hard to have a democracy. It was really the true context between Franklin saying after the signing of the Constitution that you have a democracy. Let's see if you can keep it. Why? So hard. It's so much easier to compel action than to have it be a function of free choice. It's one of the real mysteries. And the agonizing mysteries of faith is the role of free will. And why doesn't God control our outcomes more? If you're one of the people who believes that he doesn't, like a Catholic or most Protestants, why free will? Oh, that's tough. Why? Why can't he just heal the babies and stop the war and get rid of cancer? Why? Why not? We promise we won't eat the apple again. We got it. Bring back the fig leaf. Let's get back to the garden. Why? Because it's more important that people have the right to choose. It's more important. Even from bad choices? Yes. Why? Because that is essential in freedom. Freedom of speech versus freedom of reach. Shadow banning. You will see posts now where people write things and they have asterisks in the words because they're afraid that the words will trigger an algorithm. Well, that's on them. I have triggered algorithms. I have been censored for things that I said on live television. So it was good enough for News Nation, but not for YouTube or for Instagram or whoever it was that flagged me. There's a lawsuit right now that is deciding a very interesting issue about whether or not certain platforms can be sued for creating an environment where extremism, radicalization can happen. The pushback is Section 230 of the Decency Act, which clears all platforms from litigation related to the nature of the content. Now, there is a soft, good faith effort requirement, guideline that has been read into that rule in certain case law that followed it, where they litigated what the rule would mean in terms of how it applies, meaning that you're supposed to be trying to keep the ugliest shit off your platform. I don't understand that idea. Either you insulate them from litigation, which means that anything goes. That's why I'm insulating you, right? Well, why else would you do it? Well, they could never control all the okay. So there are a lot of businesses that have to worry about how their shit is used in ways. Look, it was very close to gun makers being sued every time your weapon is used to kill somebody in a wrongful way. that litigation, they had to remove that from gun makers by legislation. So, you know, there are a lot of vagaries of where the law can be. If we gave you legal insulation, why doesn't everything go? Why doesn't everything go? Because we're scared of it, because it's dangerous. So now they are doing content moderation. What pisses me off about it is, because, well, no shirt, no shoes, no service, just go to another restaurant if you don't like it. The problem here is that Twitter is not just any other restaurant, okay? There's hundreds of millions of people on it. It's a really big deal, okay? It's not a good analogy to say just go to another restaurant. The rules in that place matter to the extent that they should have any. What I don't like is this. Whatever content moderation they're doing about these kinds of issues, they're sure as fuck figuring it out so that they put their advertising next to the stuff that gets the most clickbait. And a lot of that stuff are ugly ideas. So at the same time that you're kind of censoring stuff to please some ideological concern, you may be banking on it for SEO, for search engine optimization, so that you can put your ads there because more people are clicking by it. And I think they're having it both ways, which bothers me because I think that the only way is that unless there's a legal standard involved, kiddie porn, let the ideas be out there and let the best idea win. Yeah, but there's going to be all this false information out there. There's always been that. There's just magnification of it now. We've always had this struggle with ideas. You know the expression, how old it is, that a lie makes it halfway around the world before the truth gets its pants on? That sounds like it was designed for today, but it wasn't. It was generations ago. So the fact that you have a problem doesn't mean that you know what the solution is. And I don't believe the solution is ever less exchange, less thought. You can argue and reject it on the basis of how I do it. But what I'm doing, I know, serves the highest good.
What I was trying to get at was, with this interview you did with Tucker Carlson, with the way we framed it and everything, however that worked out, many of the people who watched this interview were actually very pleased with the fact that, oh, it was a civil conversation between two people. I would say the vast majority of the comments we've gotten are positive, and it has a pretty good...
Surprisingly, not on my part, on their part, they were surprised. And not that they now all believe what Tucker Carlson thinks. It's much more nuanced than that. And it matters. They're sick of the division. It is an unnatural condition. Americans don't want to be siloed and fearful and hating the other. This place was created in opposition to those phobias. That's all we share here, is our common connection to the rights and privileges of this place. It's all about the effort to get along. That's what the whole melting pot idea, how do you melt if everybody stays in their own ingredient set, right? That's called a crudité. It's not called a melting pot. You didn't know I speak French, did you?
Well, isn't that just like the vegetables, like cold vegetables?
Yeah, and they're all isolated. They're all kept to themselves. Yeah, see what I'm saying? See what I'm saying? So to me, people are sick of it. So even if they don't like Tucker Carlson, even if they don't like me, they like that it's not just this gratuitous demonization and tearing down of every different thing that happens. It's exhausting. We're exhausted by it. And I believe we can get to a better place by talking to each other, not about each other. I hope this helps you understand why I'm doing it. Look, I know it serves the highest good. How I do it and who I do it with, you may object to. And I'm okay with that, okay? I'm not here to be popular and followed and have fans. I'm here to be helpful. And hopefully what we're doing is. Thank you for subscribing and following to the Chris Cuomo Project. Thank you for checking out News Nation, 8 p. 11 p. every weekday night. Thank you very much for checking out the Substack to get the Chris Cuomo Project ad-free and to be part of the long COVID community that we're building there. And you get to watch my own journey to deal with what I believe are long COVID symptoms. All right? The problems are obvious. Effort, together, we get to a better place. Let's get after it.